new story. So it needs creative stories. When feminists come up with a new idea, such as this Muff March, which is something that combines humour, kind of visuals, a really, really interesting topic of protest, the media will cover it. But in general, it's much more difficult.
Kira Cochrane, Caitlin Mendes, Finn Mackay, thank you all very much indeed. And now the serial, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte. Helen Graham has reached the point where she's desperate to escape the tyranny of her marriage to Mr. Huntingdon.
From Helen's private journal, it was clear her marriage was over and that her husband would not let her go. The details of her plan to escape to America with her son, her painting materials and the few jewels given to her by her aunt, she had confided in writing to these pages.
January the 10th, 1827. Is it not time to deliver my son from such a parent as my husband?
And then the man walked in.
A journal? With your leave, my dear, I'll take a look.
Arthur, please, give it back to me.
It seems very interesting, my love. Rather long, though.
It's private.
You're my wife, my sweet. There's no such thing as private.
Oh, I don't think I can finish it tonight.
You tend to go on.
Can I have it back?
No. May I trouble you for your keys?
What keys?
The keys to your cabinet, desk, drawers, and whatever else you possess.
You can't.
Oh, but I can. Really, Helen, you should learn to be more dignified. So, you thought you might disgrace me, what? Did you? You thought you might run away and be a beggarly painter and support yourself. You thought you'd rob me of my son and bring him up to be a dirty Yankee tradesman. Is that what you thought? Oh, we must have a confiscation of property. Where shall we start?
Arthur, I beg you!
Would you like to show me your paintings?
She followed him to the drawing room. Her painting materials were laid together on the corner table. He soon spied them.
It's devilish cold in here.
Arthur?
Take up your paints. Give them to me.
He broke them, cast them into the fire. Pencils, brushes, varnish, paints. She saw them all consumed. The oil and turpentine hissing and roaring in a blaze up the chimney.
Canvases?
No, please.
I must say, my dear, I preferred your earlier work. You've got so dark of late.
She watched each one as it crumbled and split into the flames. She remained speechless, tearless, almost motionless, as every one of her paintings was burnt.
And no more talk of taking my son.
How dare you! How dare you!
You'll never learn to respect me.
It's nothing, love. A cold.
Papa!
Your keys and your journal.
Please, take your boot off my hand.
I've got your jewels and your money and a few other trifles.
Papa!
1 minute, my love. I have left you a few sovereigns in your purse, which I expect to last you through the month. You will give me an account of how you spend. In future, I shall give you a small monthly allowance for your own private expenses. As for the household bills, they will be taken out of your hands.
Do you think I would try to defraud you?
It seems best to keep you out of temptation.
Mama.
It doesn't hurt, love.
You never could keep a secret, could you, Helen? Huh. It's just as well women must keep blabbing to their journals. It's just as well men know how to deal with them.
Come on, boy. Let's go shooting.
Robbed of the hope that had been her secret support and comfort, Helen spent days wandering from room to room. She knew she was a slave, a prisoner. She knew there was no end to it. But this was nothing compared with her grief at being unable to save her son.
Mama, I want some damn wine!
Huntington left in early February, and her spirits began to revive.
March the 20th. I can breathe again, and feel the return of my old energy. I no longer hope for escape. He has taken care to leave me no visible chance of that. But I am determined to make the best of things as they are.
She began to break her son of the habits he had acquired. He seldom used bad language, and she'd weaned him from the intoxicating substances his father had taught him to enjoy.
I gave him as much wine as his father gave him, but I mix it with a little tartar emetic, just enough to make him sick. I am determined to enlist all the powers of association to my service. I have seen both my father and my husband fall to it. It will not have my son.
In April, her brother, my friend, Mr. Lawrence, came to visit.
Watch how fast they are!
Whee! He looks just like you, just around the eyes.
You flatter me, Helen.
Oh, I would rather he looked like the butler than my husband.
And how is your husband?
Off and away.
Do you miss him when he's away?
Frederick, do you know what sort of a man Mr. Huntington is?
I believe I have an idea.
Have you so clear an idea that you can hear without surprise or disapproval that I would like to escape? That I need somewhere safe to hide with Arthur?
You want to leave him?
I have no choice.
Would he not consent to a separation?
He won't hear of it. He takes pleasure in keeping me against my will.
Helen, have you any idea of the risks? The scandal? And if you escape, where will you go?
America.
Helen. Do you ever think of Wildfell?
Only to remember how long ago it seems that we were children.
Go there.
To Wildfell?
It's mostly a ruin, but it's out of the way. I could make one or two rooms habitable. Say that you're my tenant. Take an assumed name. Wear mourning.
I don't know.
I mean it, Helen. If you are going to do this, you must let me help you.
In October, Huntington returned. He also brought someone with him.
Oh. Miss Myers, allow me to introduce my wife.
Miss Myers?
Mrs. Huntington.
How dare you bring another?
You'll like her. She's very pious. Miss Myers is Arthur's new governess.
Is what?
Did you not hear, my darling? Does your goodness render you deaf?
Arthur has no need of a governess.
There, you see, I disagree with you.
But I like teaching him. It's my only comfort. Since you have deprived me of everything else, you must at least leave me that. Please.
Sadly, you are unfit.
Unfit to be his mother? How?
You are too changeable. Too severe. Arthur?
Yes, Papa?
Come here. Miss Myers is a very kind lady who is going to look after you.
What about Mama?
Mama is, tired. Go upstairs with Miss Myers. That's right. Hold her hand.
Come.
You will have nothing further to do with him. Well, isn't this merry?
Yeah. Miss Myers, what is the name of the family you worked for before?
What does it matter what they were called?
I'm interested. Miss Myers?
Mr. Huntington, I...
My glass is empty, Benson. And some for the boy.
He doesn't want it.
And some for the boy, I said.
Mama.
What's wrong with you? Drink it. touch him! Get out of here!
In the next morning's post, Helen dispatched a few lines to her brother, beseeching him to prepare immediately for her arrival. She wrote too to her uncle and aunt, begging their forgiveness for what she was about to do.
October the 10th. I am content to spend my life in obscurity, devoting myself to my son and teaching him to avoid the errors of both his parents.
For 2 days she prepared for her secret departure with the utmost caution. She put Arthur to bed in her room for better security.
The whole house is still. There can be no one but me awake. I am far too anxious to close my eyes. Our boxes were all corded by Benson and quietly conveyed down the back stairs after dusk. The name on them is Mrs. Graham. In a few hours, we will be gone.
Arthur, are you awake?
Mama.
We need to dress very quickly, love. That's right. Clever boy.
Where are we going?
You'll be safe now.
What trembling joy it was when the little wicket closed behind us as we issued from the park. I paused for a draught of that cold, bracing air and took one last look back at the house. All was dark and still.
Mama.
Hold my hand, love.
We had left Grassdale many miles behind before the round red sun rose to welcome our deliverance. What delight it was to feel the morning sun on my face, surrounded by an unknown country, with my darling child sleeping in my arms. It was night again before we set our eyes on the dark, grim pile that is Wildfell.
Where are we?
Home, love.
I don't like it.
Come on. I was glad to climb the stone staircase and lie down in the gloomy, old-fashioned bed beside my Arthur.
Where is Papa? Is he going to fetch us?
Sleep now. We need to sleep.
In the weeks following, it seemed Mr. Hunterdon made every effort to find her. He went to her aunt several times. He also wrote to her brother.
He is willing to let you go. He's willing to settle a reasonable allowance on you. What he wants is his son.
Have you replied?
Only to say I've not heard from you and that I'm sure that wherever you are, nothing would induce you to give up your son.
Thank you.
How are you, Helen?
Well enough. Lonely. I look forward to your visit.
We have to be careful. I'll come when I can, but it's difficult.
Come at night, when no one can see you. I'd like to go to church.
You can't. It's a small neighbourhood.
I won't stop. I won't talk. I need to pray. To ask forgiveness, I need that.
If you wish to hide from Huntingdon, you must keep away from everyone.
The sun was clear in the sky as I reached the last pages of Helen's journal.
October the 24th. Alas, my kind neighbours will not let me alone. They have ferreted me out and are bent on discovering who and what I am. November the 3rd. I have made some further acquaintance in the village. The fine gentleman and beau of the parish, at least in his own eyes, is a young...
Here it ended. The rest was torn away. I closed the journal, dressed in haste and hurried to Wildfell.
And episode 9 is tomorrow. Lucy writes in an email, while I believe in absolute honesty, I do regret telling my partner how many partners have preceded him. He was hugely jealous and concluded that he hadn't enough partners to settle down with me yet. We're still together with 2 children, but it'll always be an issue. Bye-bye.
Woman's Hour was presented by Jenny Murray and produced by Louise Adamson. And today is the 70th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, which brought the USA into the Second World War. Peter Snow uses news reports to recreate history in random edition after the news.
They remember the 71 war well. They've just showed us where the bombs fell, what it felt like back then.
40 years after the Indo-Pakistan War, the BBC's South Asia editor, Shazeb Jilani, returns to meet some of those who witnessed atrocities.
Was there a sense who was killing whom and why?
Pakistan's soldiers not fighting, it is killing.
He discovers how defeat has shaped Pakistan today.
They have very little expectations from their political leaders. They say, it's only God that we have trust in.
Boundaries of Blood on BBC Radio 4 next Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock.